Well, our lesson today is the story of Simeon and Anna. It's in the second chapter of Luke, which is on page 725. It begins on verse 21, Jesus presented in the temple. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. Now, when the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, and he was righteous and devout. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, that the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. And coming up to them at the very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel, of Jerusalem. And when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And there the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. The Gospel of our Lord. Well, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. In the season of Epiphany, which means kind of revelation, of seeing things in a new light, two of the people are Simeon and Anna. And they were people that waited, presumably a long time, before the light finally dawned, before they saw what had been promised to them. And so our lesson begins with Simeon. He was told, "You're not going to die until you see the promised Messiah." Imagine how that would have changed his life. Imagine if that had been told to you, or like the kids in the children's sermon, that you would be alive when Jesus returns. You know, it changes the way you view everything. You know, now there are people, you know, that try to interpret Daniel in the book of Revelation, and we've had books all saying, oh, this means that, and that means this, and we think that Jesus is going to come, but it's we think. It's an interpretation. In fact, if you go through history, almost every generation has interpreted those same passages saying, we think Jesus is coming in our generation. Even Martin Luther said, the Pope is the Antichrist. And so Jesus, he was sure Jesus was coming during his lifetime as well. But imagine you weren't just thinking about it, but somebody told, before you die, you're going to see Jesus. It changed the way you live every day. There would be no more blue Mondays or hump Wednesdays. I got to get through the week. No, every day you'd wake up, is this the day? Is this the day? And of course, since so many of us are older, well, it's got to be coming soon. We don't have that long to wait. But to wake every day with that type of expectation, I've been told Jesus is going to come while I'm still alive, it would change the way we lived each day with hope and with expectation. And that's the way it was for Simeon. Every day he went to the temple, because where are you going to find the Messiah? But in the temple. And finally the day came. Finally that day came when Mary and Joseph were bringing Jesus to the temple. He was following all the things the law required of him. And one of those, that the firstborn child of every family, male, was to be dedicated to serve God and actually given into the service at the temple. And if you didn't give the child over to that, then you paid a price to redeem him. And so they were there to pay that price to redeem him so they could take him back home to Nazareth with them. And so Simeon sees Jesus and he takes the baby up into his arms. And he says, now I can depart in peace, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. Now, one of the things that strikes me about that text is Simeon is saying this while the baby is still a baby. Jesus hasn't done anything yet. He's not going to do anything. He's still a baby. He doesn't talk. You know, he didn't come out of the womb speaking Latin and Greek. He was a baby just like any other baby was. In fact, the very end of our text says he had to grow in wisdom and knowledge. So he grew as any other child would grow. And yet, before the baby did anything, just because the promise had been made, this is the Messiah, he departed in peace. Now you got to remember, the Romans were still occupying Israel. They were still oppressive. They still taxed the people to death. He was an old man. He didn't have much longer to live. He knew he would not live to see this baby become a man. And still he departs in peace, trusting in that promise. Yes, this is the Messiah, and he has a mission that he eventually will fulfill. And the Holy Spirit led him to believe that. You know, we need to have that same Holy Spirit for us to see who this Jesus is. I always marvel, Simon, all he saw was the baby. He never saw Jesus do anything, and still he believed and he departed in peace. And we have seen so much more. Think about it. You know, we have seen in the scriptures how Jesus did so many miracles and healed so many different people. We have seen who is God. This is a God of compassion. He gathers in the outcasts. He welcomes those who are rejected by others. He has compassion. He practices forgiveness. That even those nobody else would forgive, Jesus forgave tax collectors and sinners, and he ate with them. And ultimately, we've seen Jesus go to the cross. It wasn't that the Romans killed him. He chose to give his life to the cross. It was his choice. So when we wonder who is the God that we believe in, it's the God willing to suffer on our behalf, choosing to suffer on our behalf. Simeon didn't see any of that. He didn't see Jesus go to the cross. And he didn't see the resurrection of Jesus either. You know, we have the testimony of four different gospels. We have the word of St. Paul, who saw the resurrected Jesus on the road to Damascus. We have all these witnesses who've said Jesus not only died on the cross, but he rose from the dead. And it's because of all of this, can we depart in peace the same way Simeon did? You know, there's still a lot of evil in our world. There is still suffering, but there was suffering and evil when Simeon departed in peace. And I think that's one of the challenges for us, is to have those eyes of faith. That as Simeon departed in peace because he had seen the salvation of the Lord, can we live in peace, having seen not just the baby, but seeing the man, seeing the one raised from the dead, and knowing his promises to us of forgiveness and everlasting life are certain. We have so much more reason to be at peace than Simeon had. And yet sometimes it's hard to have peace. You know, this week has been a tough week for people in Los Angeles. In fact, on the way out of church, Dave Thompson was showing me that his daughter had met Kobe in a restaurant earlier this year and had a picture of his daughter and Kobe there in a restaurant together. You know, and you're just thinking, there I was with him, and now he's dead. And sometimes it's when things like this happen that makes us question, is God a good God? You know, and yet the reality is any one of us could die from a plane crash, a car wreck, an infection. I mean, this last summer when I had my infection, I was in the hospital 5 days. I could have died had that infection gone septic. You know, we're all that close. You know, none of us knows when that day will come. But I was struck by an interview that Jerry West had. And Jerry West was like a surrogate father to Kobe. When Kobe came to the Lakers, he was 17. He didn't even have a driver's license. Jerry West said his son used to drive Kobe to and from practice. Most nights, Kobe would have dinner with the West family, and he said he considered him like an adopted son. And then Jerry West shared he had had an older brother. He said, my older brother, you know, he looked up to him. He was the type of perfect older brother, very devout, very religious, and his older brother got killed in the Korean War. And on radio, Jerry West says, sometimes I have trouble believing in God. When my brother was taken, and now this like a son to me was taken so tragic, how can I even believe in God? And that's one of those long-standing questions. We live in a world of suffering and death. How can we proclaim belief in a God of love when things like Kobe or wars that take lives, bad things happen? How can we believe? Well, we need an epiphany. You know, we need to go back. What have we seen about our God? Yes, bad things happen, but good is the ultimate reality. And in the midst of the bad things that happen, that's why the cross is always center at every Christian church, because that's how we make sense of suffering. God says, I will suffer. I will be the one who, to show you the depth of my love for you, I'll go to the cross. It's not that the Romans killed him. He offered his life for us. And so when we struggle, how can there be a God in the midst of evil? God says, let me show you just how much I love you. I will even go to the cross for you. And so now we look upon this baby and we say, I see the God who died, the God who suffered, and the God who was raised from the dead. And that's what enables us to find hope in a world where there is suffering and death. And then sometimes we discover again the presence of God here in our world. Sometimes God sends us people, and those people are God's presence to us. Sometimes when we grieve, it's that hug we got. It's that person who was just there for us, who is the very presence of God, who gets us through difficult times. And so sometimes we see the light of Christ through other people. And sometimes it comes to us in Holy Communion. You know, each time we celebrate Holy Communion, 1 Corinthians 10:16, which our confirmands all have to memorize, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a sharing in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a sharing in the body of Christ? We may see only bread and wine, but God's promise is in and with that bread and wine, God is present to us. He's present with the words of forgiveness of sins. He's present that we may experience His promise that this is a foretaste of the feast to come. And so, in communion sometimes, here and now, we can experience God's presence in our world. So Simeon saw the Christ child. He believed and departed in peace, even though the Romans were still there, even though life was hard and he was old. He departed in peace, and that is the challenge for each and every one of us. My prayer is that you may be given the eyes of Simeon, that you may be able to see the baby Jesus and to see the Word made flesh, that you may hear of the death and resurrection of Jesus and believe Jesus is the resurrection and the life for you, that you may see the bread and wine of communion and know it is the body and blood of Christ, God with you in forgiveness. So may you depart in peace, because we have seen the Messiah, and through him we have been saved. Amen. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord God, we all go through the pain of suffering and death. And there are times it's hard for us, like Simeon, to see you clearly and to live with peace. Lord, give us epiphanies. Show us your love in the cross. Help us to see and experience your forgiveness now and your promise of everlasting life, so that even when we go through weeks where tragedies are in the news, we still have the hope and the promise of life forever.